I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Midlife Mavericks. I'm your host, Allison Jacobson. So glad you're joining us. As you might know, this is all about women empowering other women in midlife to do incredible kick-ass things. I do solo episodes, guest episodes with amazing women who have either accomplished something amazing in midlife or are helping us deal with everything from finances to sex to health and wellness to business, you name it, we're doing it. If you want to find out more about me as a coach, you can find out more at allison-jacobson.com. And please, if you like this podcast, do me a favor, go on, subscribe, leave a review, because that will help other women find this show. Kim Hines is a holistic nutritionist whose goal is to help 40-plus women give themselves permission to eat, to manage their bodies intuitively, and feel confident in their bodies, all without restrictive dieting. She also works with women in menopause to overcome emotional and stress eating. Oh my gosh, I know about that. And learn the habits and frameworks needed to feel empowered and comfortable in their own skin. Kim owns a practice with two therapists, has an MBA and certification in food addiction coaching and gut health. She owns a practice with two therapists and has been doing group and one-to-one coaching for almost 10 years. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Allison. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And I want to jump into a couple of things, because there's three things that are really getting to me now is all of the commercials about weight loss drugs. And I don't know. I mean, again, I've no blame, no shame. If they work for you, great. But I'm worried about side effects. I'm worried about who's really deciding to use these, because one of the things I heard from another guest was that women in midlife actually have eating disorders. And you always think about that as girls in college. So that kind of surprised me.
Oh my gosh, this is such a wonderful topic to go into. And so before we get into the weight loss drugs, the GLP-1 semaglutides, let's talk about eating disorders in midlife. This is so tragic, but we have been exposed to diet culture for so long, and it's been very subliminal as well as very out there for us. And so think about when you were younger, the things that started very subtly, Tab, RC Cola, Slim Fast, some of the things that slid in. And there were a lot of liquid diets that were coming on. And I even remember my mom, and she did a liquid diet that was, and this is for the listeners in air quotes, was medically supervised, oh, but God. It still was a liquid diet. And she lost her hair along with the weight, but then she gained it right back. And right. Diet culture really is this feeling of we have to shrink our body. And it's been pushed in. And it used to be magazines. Yeah. You know, we used to all get magazines from 17 and Tiger Beat all the way up to like Cosmopolitan and all these other, you know, glamour magazines that now we see it all online.
Right.
And there's always this feeling as women that we need to be smaller than we are. So, yes, we are dealing with 20 to 30 years of dieting, and some people don't even realize they're dieting. They'll come in and they'll say, well, you know, I know that has 100 calories, but I'm like, well, how do you know that? And why are you focusing on it?
Yeah.
So that's the first part is, yes, we are dealing with, generations of constant dieting and diet culture and paying close attention to having less food and restricting. And then the trendy diets that come along. My friend lost 30 pounds on such and such diet. Yeah. So then you try it, you don't realize until you do it that it's not meant for you and it's not sustainable. Well, this 30-day thing that everybody's doing January 1st, I'm going to try that and cut out food groups. So then now, as we've evolved through diet pills like Hydroxycut and all the things that people did, this is just another version of being able to lose weight without changing the health habits. But I'm going to share there's two sides to this. The one side is when, and just for people, when I said before, GLP-1, semaglutide, these things like Ozempic and Wegovy, they're peptides. And so our body actually can produce some of what we're getting from this shot, but some people want to speed up the process and they might not be able to jumpstart. So the one side of it is, yes, I have clients that have nausea. They can't really, you know, eat very much because they have motility issues now. The food is not moving through their system. But then they are, you know, some of them are changing their habits and some are not. They're just eating less. The other side of it is I have a client and she's actually going to come on my show. So it's okay for me to share this. She went on it and it actually changed her enough, even in her mind and mentally, to be able to have the motivation when she started to lose the weight. Wow. It actually gave her the motivation to do all the health habits we've been talking about.
Wow.
So there are two sides to it and right. Everyone is different. But some people are really struggling. And if they don't change their habits, we know what's going to happen. And right. Like you said, I love what you said. I want to be healthy. And weight loss, if you need weight loss, is actually a byproduct of those healthy habits. It's not lose the weight and then you'll be healthy. Those are not necessarily together.
Right. Like, you know, one of the coaches I follow is Lewis Howes, and he talked about this the other day a lot, is you got to start with where you want to end up, meaning you've got to have that confidence going in. You've got to stick to that routine. And then all of a sudden, you're going to feel that confidence that you were kind of manufacturing in the beginning. And you're right. You know, starting out with that exercise is going to make you feel better and really motivate you to do all the other healthy things. I completely agree with that. And the other thing that I find interesting too is in menopause, I don't think people realize you do have to eat differently, right? Like you said, cutting out food groups, you got to have protein. You've got to have carbohydrates. I ran the New York City Marathon 2 years ago and I would come home ravenous and, you know, I would load up on the carbs and it was okay because I was burning it, but you can't just stop. You need all of those food groups to stay healthy.
Yes. And I love it. That's another thing we have in common. I ran a lot of marathons in my day. And back then, I didn't really understand what I was doing, but we take the goo packets, we take those yeah. carbohydrates in because we need the energy. And it is brain food also. And it is interesting as we go through menopause, when that estrogen and progesterone is dropping, we do have different things that are going on with our bodies. We can't just out-exercise and out-diet everything. Right. Our bodies are hormonally imbalanced. Our metabolism is challenged because of those hormones. So I have actually been talking about this a lot, and the experts are saying that, you know, we really do need to have that protein, because the other piece of this is from age 30 on, every decade, we're losing 3 to 8% of our muscle mass.
Right.
And muscle is life. It's also an endocrine organ. It helps us balance our blood sugar. Protein helps us balance our blood sugar, because what happens in, you know, menopause is we all become more insulin resistant, which I think is the bottom line. I think that's why, in addition to the estrogen dropping, I think that's the other bottom line to why we gain weight. So we have to have that estrogen, you know, like we have to balance something in the body, whether you take, you know, bioidenticals or not, that's your choice. But everything else has to be readjusted. But you don't have to go hungry. Like you said, you were ravenous.
Right.
And having that balanced plate of protein, fiber, and carbs is that balanced plate. And why at 50-something years old would we want to be hungry?
Right.
That doesn't even make sense.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, I just watched a really cool documentary. I don't know if you saw it on Netflix, You Are What You Eat. And basically, it's a twin study, and one twin goes on a plant-based diet, the other is on a protein meat diet. It was very interesting to see, and especially where they did lose muscle, on the meat diet, but even more so, which I found fascinating, on the plant diet, they actually reversed aging, which was incredible to me. And I think if women understood more of that, and look, I'm not giving up meat, but like yesterday I had Trader Joe's soy chorizo, which I love. I use that Beyond Meat in my rigatoni bolognese. So there's ways of doing it where you're still getting that. But I think if more women understood, you know, what this is doing to our body and how we can have a healthy diet and sometimes reverse aging, they'd look at it more.
I agree. I think that every person is different. Everybody is different and every body is different. So what you can consume, digest well, absorb as far as nutrients is really important for you to figure out with and work with someone to know that or to experiment. And I have women, including myself, I always experiment on myself. I'm like the little science project N equals one. And I actually went very plant-based for quite a while and even vegan. And for me, it just didn't work. And I couldn't do it with my energy level. I didn't keep muscle mass. And we can measure those, by the way. You can go and get the BMIs done. You can get the DEXA scans if you really want to know, because it's kind of fun. Those numbers are way more fun than the scale. I don't think the scale is accurate. I think it sends us a terrible message. It's not sending a message of what we have fat versus lean body mass inside our bodies. It's really just giving you a number that you have been attached to what you think you should be since high school. And it's very damaging emotionally. So I kind of digressed off of that. But the meat versus veggie thing is a very personal choice. I'm just seeing insulin levels with women and watching them when they get their blood work done. I'm not a doctor. Don't pretend to be one. But we do like to look at that A1C. And when things are really out of line, that's when we just adjust and tweak, and I let them choose their food and just say, hey, these are the things that you can look at. Try them out and see how it works for you. And so, for example, this is one thing that shocked me. You know, everybody can eat oatmeal around me, but when I eat oatmeal, my blood sugar goes up to over 200. And granted, it had a little bit of banana, maple syrup, and walnuts on it. But when I eat eggs with avocado and spinach, I don't move hardly at all. So it's just a matter of we all have to kind of know where we are. My husband can eat a banana and not spike. I'll eat a banana and things look very different when we do that. So everybody has to find their way. But anti-aging is huge. And when we abuse our bodies, and it's so hard because I do believe in intuitive eating and having those treats once in a while and having fun. Yeah. Absolutely. But over the years of processed food, and there's even a lot of vegan processed food, over the years of processed food and the sugars, they do create a lot of inflammation in our bodies, as well as all the environmental toxins. Right. So that's another place our aging is coming from. So that's why if we go back and you focus on just a few things, muscle, protein and fiber and carbs, we make it so complicated.
Yeah, I know. But I have a question now, because you just said about your blood sugar spiking with oatmeal and your husband being able to eat a banana. How can we figure that out? Like, even if we get our blood tested, how are we going to know that? How did you figure that out?
Yes, I did not want to get a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor. You know, people are getting them put on their arms and it's attached to their phone. And one of my best friends is type 1 diabetic and has managed it beautifully forever. And so she had an extra glucometer and she knew I was really interested in understanding my blood sugar more. And so she gave me a glucometer, and you can get them at any drugstore. You can, it's a whole kit that has the lancets, the pen, the strips, and everything. And I just started testing. And I had her, luckily, to kind of tell me, you can look this up on when to test. And I always test about 45 minutes to an hour after. And, you know, depending on what your doctor tells you, you follow their instructions if that makes you more comfortable. And then I test again later to see how fast it comes down. And there are actually clients that have used the CGM, gone through companies and used the CGM that's why they use it. It's on a continuous basis. They can watch all day long what's affecting them. And it's not just food. It's stress, cortisol. Yeah. When you have stress, that'll dump sugars into your system also.
Oh God. So another reason why we need to de-stress and relax. Oh my gosh. I never knew that.
Yes.
So is that why when we feel stressed, all of a sudden we're like antsy and uptight and everything? Because it's really affecting our blood sugar.
It is affecting our blood sugar. So when you're feeling flush and you're feeling just a little bit different, it could be part of that. It could also be where we're messing with our nervous system.
Yeah.
And the vagal system. So all of that's going on at the same time. And we need cortisol, obviously, to keep us out of danger. Right. But the problem, as we all know, as a nation, as a world, we're chronically stressed about things, and we're not bringing ourselves down throughout the day.
You know, it's one of the things. So I've been loving doing this podcast. Not only I hope I'm giving information to my listeners, but also myself. Like, I had never heard so much about cortisol. And I feel like I'm learning so much more because I am focusing on menopause and issues that are affecting women in midlife. So how do you work with your clients? Who comes to you? What do you do?
So it's interesting. I have two hats in the office where I have, you know, I work with the two therapists. I get a referral for everything. I, you know, age 17 up to 70, men and women. And, but online, I've kind of narrowed it down to menopausal and midlife women. But they have such an overlap. Really, everything that I teach for the midlife women and women over 40. I say women over 40, but we can start perimenopause in our 30s. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a lot of women who've gone through hysterectomies and other issues that have forced them into hormonal changes. And I work with women with PCOS who are also dealing with hormonal changes, and it all starts to overlap. And what I do with them is when they come in, you know, everyone has a program, but the program, you can't start in chapter one for everyone. Some people have to start in chapter three or chapter five. So we just do an assessment. We find out where everyone is, what the symptoms are, what they've been doing, and then we go from there, because some people may actually be doing all the right things, but they need to learn how to tap and do guided meditation and stress relief or work on their boundaries. And then I've got some people who never eaten a vegetable in the last 10 years. And so we start there. It just depends on where people are. And honestly, my love is women over 40 and just educating on what's happening to your body so you don't feel like you're doing something wrong. You are not slovenly. You are not overindulging. You're not doing all these things to yourself. It's a matter of learning, hey, things are just a little different, and we have to rewrite your story and rewrite your playbook so that the rules are different. And then also, where can we send you to get help? Because really, people need to get tested for them to really understand where everything is.
Yeah. And I think what you said is so important, that connection of mind and body and the lack of confidence and the self-doubt and the body image issues that come up for women. And it becomes this vicious cycle of, I don't feel good about myself, so I'm going to have that ice cream and I'm going to have those cookies. And now, God, I look horrible. And it really is, you know, a lot of it, I think, is from the media and quite frankly, a patriarchal society, because, you know, men can have an extra 40 pounds and no one says anything, but God forbid women do. And, you know, we just see that constantly in the media, right? How women are criticized for how they look.
I think that's a really wonderful point that we are, again, that to me is part of the diet culture, that we are expected to look the same for, you know, 80 years of our life. And it's challenging because our bodies have changed. When you think about the evolution of the body, we're young and then the hormones go crazy in puberty. We fill out and change in ways during puberty. Then we go along again, things are a little bit more stable, and then we may choose to have children. And then the hormones change again and the body changes again, because organs for other people out there, like men, you know, organs don't just go back exactly where they were when you push a baby in there. And then we go through menopause. And what some people really struggle with is, as much as we don't love it, and as much as we may have to work on it, the thickening of the waist and the belly retaining more of that weight is actually very normal and part of the process. It's just how we want to deal with it afterwards. So think about, you know, I'm just going to make up a time frame. Forgive me, you historical people, but the 1800s, let's just make that up. Women weren't necessarily living as long as they are now. So people didn't really know that all this was happening. Mm. And also we didn't have at that time, you know, there might have been standards for women, but it's not the same as it is now, having the tiny waist and the six pack abs and, you know, the petiteness that is unfair because all women are different. All women are beautiful. All bodies are good, but we don't feel that way when we look at everything online where these women who look very tiny is we see maybe 1% of the population, but it's shown online 90% of the time.
Exactly. And if it's not shown online, people are airbrushing and photoshopping their images so they do look like that. You know, it's interesting when I'm thinking about it now, I think there has been more of a culture shift to plus size women. And God, I think Lizzo's gorgeous and people like that, but you're still not seeing plus size older women. And, you know, it's been hard enough for people like Jamie Lee Curtis and Sharon Stone and people like that, but you're not seeing plus size older women. And so, again, I mean, these women are gorgeous and they're buff and there's still not that real acceptance or understanding.
I think that is such a great observation. I didn't even think about that before because what we are seeing is, like you said, they're highlighting online the people who are in shape, and they are highlighting the people who look beautiful when they've turned gray. They have the perfect coloring for it, perfect makeup. And there are some people out there who are really wonderful champions for having a beautiful, you know, just life and body as you are. And I'm going to throw in a side note to this. There's not... we have body positivity, but then the other side of it is just that healthiness from the inside out, mm-hmm. that we don't have to be at our high school weight to be healthy. And we do know that there is an obesity connection to chronic illness. I'm not discounting that. There is a connection to that, but I think there's this gray area in between that nobody wants to admit that, hey, this is a healthy population. These people are working. They're doing all the right things. They're just never going to be the stick figure that people expect to see online and on TV.
Right. I think as I was thinking about this, the only person that comes to mind is Oprah Winfrey, right? Like, she is owning who she is now, but we're not Oprah, right? Like, yes. That woman has amazing confidence. And yes, I'm sure she has issues, but she's Oprah, right? So what are the mere mortals of us supposed to do and look like? And it's tough.
I know. And, you know, that confidence level, I love, that's part of what you do so well on the podcast, is really help breed the confidence, the empowerment. And women, if they could be feeling as good inside as they do outside, we can let go of what we think the mirror should look like, mm-hmm. and put on that outfit. Even if you wear it every day, put on that outfit that feels good. The worst thing is to try to put something on that doesn't feel good. It's tight. It's only going to highlight your body feeling uncomfortable. Find that outfit that feels good. Get that haircut you love.
Yeah.
We don't have to, you know, dress perfectly or wear makeup. But just love your skin. Do the things to make it feel healthy, make it feel glowing. Do the things that give you energy, the working out. The most beautiful women that I see are the ones that are out with no makeup, haven't done their hair, and they're walking. They're briskly walking, or they're running, or they are in the gym. And I think that's another thing too. When we talk about building muscle, there's such a fear for people who haven't done it before.
Oh my gosh.
And yes, there's that little breakthrough. We're afraid, and as we get older too, and I understand this, we don't want to embarrass ourselves.
Right.
We don't want to go in and look like we don't know what we're doing, but it's a beautiful time to start, you know, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to say, you know what, I need to ask for help.
Right.
I need to do this. But I see those women in the gym and I am I don't care what size they are, they're working it. And I'm
yeah.
so excited about it.
Well, that reminds me of two things. So one, I took a Zumba class and I used to dance, but I just feel like I am not coordinated. And I walk into the Zumba class and literally I had to be at least 15 years younger than the
Yes.
other people there. And this one older woman's like, oh, honey, just watch me. I got this. I'm like, rock on, sister. Like, that's what it's about. But you know, going back to your point of the gym. So after I've been running the marathon now, I really am working on lifting weights and weight training and all of that. And I go to my why because I don't have that fear of being, you know, kind of not that hard body. But by the same token, it took a lot for me to walk in there. And my community knows I post regularly reels from the gym. I look like hell, but I want people to know it. And I feel motivated and excited when I'm at the gym, right? But it took me repetitively saying, I'm going to go to the gym. And it started because after I ran the marathon, my leg was hurting. And I found the only thing that helps is stretching and doing light weights. So I had a reason to go. It made me feel better. But then once I got into the habit, now I want to go. And now I feel like I belong there. It's the same people I see every day. And I'll tell you, when I see a woman in there for the first time, I always go up and congratulate her because you're right. It takes a lot of courage and self-confidence to get there. But the other thing is, no one's watching you. No one gives a rat's ass what you're doing.
I agree. I think everyone is so involved in their own situation.
Oh, yeah.
That they, and if anything, I think people are excited that you're in there, you're doing it, you're with them. We're all kind of a part of a little community that we don't even realize when we go in there. We all have a common goal. We're all
yep.
doing the same thing. And for women, too, that working it out at home is an option.
Yep.
I happen to belong to a gym because I like to go with my husband sometimes, but I've gone to thrift stores over the years and I've just collected. I've got so many weights and TRX yep. and Bosu. And if I really don't want to leave and I want to look even worse than I do when I go in the gym, because I do, I look like I just crawled out of bed when
yeah,
I go to work out
me
at
too.
Home. But you know what? I love that about you, that you post like that. And that's a really important thing to bring up too. We have a very filtered society. And I'm really honest when I filter, because I want women to know that when you see my face, if I've filtered it for whatever reason, it doesn't filter my neck. So it's very clear
oh.
what's going on. It does not filter my neck. I still have wrinkles. It is still very obvious how old I am. And then there are a lot of times I do what you do and I post while I'm working out with no makeup on, bad lighting. I have dark spots that I'm working on my skin, but I do that now on purpose for two reasons. One, I want everyone else to know that this is just life. This is who I am. I also, for myself, deep down, have to show up authentically as much as possible because I don't want to run into somebody and be, and then
mm-hmm.
like, you don't look like what you look
right.
like on
right,
Instagram.
Exactly.
This is really me. And we love to look good. Don't get me wrong. I love
right.
to get dressed up. I love to put makeup on. But the reality is we are human beings. We're women. We have a lot to offer the world. We are very empowered and we have so much to give other people that the package on the outside is the smallest and most least important part of us.
Ugh. Amen. We're talking to Kim Hines, and she also has a podcast, the Emotional Eats podcast. And you can find more about her at kimhines.com. It's all going to be in the show notes. And I want to go back to something you said before about, you know, the internal part of it and the self-confidence. And I think one of the things I really want women to understand is playfulness. Having fun, feeling like you're having fun, going out to the beach with your dog, playing with your grandkids, or I love playing with the kids next door. And, you know, that beauty and that confidence comes from within. And when you stop taking yourself so seriously and stop worrying about what everybody's thinking and you're just having fun, man, that comes out. And that's the beauty of it, to just lighten up and play.
I love that. Allison, you're tapping into my goal for the year, by the way, personally. I put lighten up as one of my goals this year. And, you know, we get so wrapped up in these goals around our body, our weight, and we get wrapped up into, you know, you and I both own businesses. We have all these mm-hmm. business goals. Lighten up was actually one of the ones that came to me, and it didn't come to me until it came from a client first, which is amazing. So I learned from my clients also. And, you know, it's funny you said that, because losing our sense of humor as we are not feeling well, it happens. Mm-hmm. And we find as we get older, if we can't control certain things, we try to control everything else around us. Mm-hmm. And letting go of that control and letting things happen is so important. And I have found a newfound love. My marathoning days, I did it for 20 years. I loved it. Oh, wow. Maybe I'll go back to it. But I have found when two of my kids moved to Denver, Colorado, and I have loved hiking with them. Mm. And it's something that just, it's energetic. It's fun. We're out there. We're just laughing and talking the whole time. Even with my husband trying to lighten up, we're almost empty nesters now. And we've got one left, and just having that time, because we can't get this back once it's gone. And I can be complaining and I can be sad and I can be doing all these things through menopause, but I'm working on them. So now lightening up again, let's reduce the cortisol. That's what one thing that happens. Letting go of control in one area of your life, this amusement and playfulness helps you let go of control in other mm-hmm. areas. Maybe micromanaging every meal that you have. Maybe micromanaging all your mistakes of not getting to the gym. And I have little tricks for my clients to do that, to not micromanage it and to look at things as a whole. But I love it. Thank you for bringing that up, because playfulness is so important.
Yeah.
And laughing just releases the stress in our bodies tremendously. Yeah.
And again, it's been shown you live longer when you're happy. There is just medical proof to that. The other thing, and I always talk to my clients about this too, is gratitude, right? Like, even if you're not happy with your entire body, you can't tell me there's not some aspect, either your eyes or your hair or, you know, your ability to ice skate, whatever it is. Find that gratitude. Start from that place of gratitude, because I'm sure you hear it too. We talk to ourselves worse than we talk to somebody we hated. And we've got to turn that around and love ourselves. And I do a lot of meditation and coaching around that first, and gratitude for what we do have.
I so agree. And the loving ourselves, and I'm sure that you do the same thing. We really go back to those limiting beliefs from our childhood, and we need to really remember the lies that we've been told, and then we start telling them to ourselves in our own voice. And that is very damaging, instead of remembering all the good things. And one of the reasons why I love walking every single day, even if it's just 5 minutes, if it's cold or hot, depending on, you know, where you are, because we're coming from two different places, the walking creates an air of attitude, you know, of like, okay, you know, one, I'm moving forward with my feet, so I'm moving forward in my brain. Number two, I can pray, I can walking meditate, I can process my day. Number three, I can have gratitude, because anything that we see on the outside, trees, the sunshine, the snow, the grass, anything you see is a gift that we get to actually see. The fact that we're walking is a gift. And I think gratitude is amazing. You know, some people struggle with it. And so I ask everyone to not sit and think of your typical things. I'm thankful for my dog. I'm thankful for my food. I'm thankful for my kids. That's great. We do need to be thankful, but go a little bit deeper. Are you thankful today that you didn't think about what was hurting? Are you thankful today because maybe someone gave you a compliment and you were actually able to receive it? Are you get a little bit deeper on things that maybe you wouldn't necessarily tell other people if you had to say it out loud?
Man, we could talk forever, but you just hit on another topic of, we could get, you know, five compliments and one criticism, and we're going to focus on that criticism. And your point about allowing yourself to take that compliment. That's so important.
It makes me sad because I even did it for years until my own coaching training. I did not understand how powerful it is to receive something, and it really opens the door to receive more. But it's like when you wear something really cute and you're like, oh, I got it at a thrift store. When somebody compliments you, you don't have to say that. You can if you're like having fun and want everybody to know you're a fun bargain shopper. Right. But a lot of people do it to deflect because they're not able to take it in for whatever their limiting beliefs are. Or even like, your hair looks great. Oh, thanks. You know, I washed it.
Yeah.
That's a famous one from me. And so I agree with you. I think we don't take that in. And when we can receive anything, when you receive, you become more open and abundant to getting more.
Amen. All it requires is a simple thank you. Exactly.
Love that.
Kim, this was great. I'm encouraging everybody to go listen to your podcast. Check it out, the Emotional Eats podcast. I'm going to have that link in there. And, you know, I always ask, what's one piece of advice that you would give to women in midlife?
That is such a wonderful question. And if I could narrow it down to one thing, is to trust your gut, trust your instincts. And what happens is we get very convoluted. We're given so much information in this world, and we are given so many different avenues of trying things. Trust yourself to not only know that what you think is okay, trust yourself that your body is okay. Trust yourself that you're going to find the answers because you have resources. There's resources like us out there. Trust yourself. And when you start to trust, and then you get to listen, and your body actually will respond and tell you directions to go. And guess what? If it's not the right direction, your body will let you know. So that is my biggest piece of advice, is to really trust and listen to yourself.
Kim, thank you so much for coming on. Kim Himes, you can find more at kimhimes.com. I hope everybody takes this in and listens to what magnificent bodies we all have, and to love yourself. So take care and have a great rest of your day. Bye now.